Father, right now, we bind the enemy. We say, spirit of suicide, no. Simply no. In Jesus' name, you shall not prevail. We declare life and life abundance, abundantly. We pray and declare they will live and not die. We do not accept your attack. We repel it. We send it back to where it came from. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I also lift up a couple who desperately need an answer, and they need one quick. They need it now. We know the plans of the enemy, but we also know the plans of God, who has plans for them, plans for hope and for a future, not for disaster and calamity, because you have great thoughts for them and towards them. And so, once again, we address the enemy and we say, stop it. Stop. You may hold some purse strings, but you do not hold them in your hand. The king holds them in his hand. And he turns them in whichever direction that he wants, regardless of your legal situation or your unsettled mental situation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that, but boy, there's a strong heaviness here, and who I'm praying for is not here, but there are some here, and it's palpable, and it's for real, and I feel it, and I sense it, and I want you to know that God is bigger than anything you're going through. He's bigger, and he's able, and do not throw in your towel. It's not yours to throw in. So don't throw it in. Don't quit. It's not over. The heavy lady hasn't sung yet. Politically correct. I want to read two cards because I think they're encouraging. We did a thing, actually I might read three, but we did when we were talking about moving, which we are moving, and we just don't know where to. Pastor Chris talked about the cloud by day and the fire by night, and we're following him. And the Lord's going to do something, and we're going to be able to say, wow, that was God. And I'm okay with that. And I'm also okay with him using us in whatever fashion, but we are not going to manhandle this situation. Our lease is up in May, and the building new ownership has already stated that they wish not to renew it. Actually, that's not really true. They will renew it at a multiple times what we're paying, and we won't pay that. And so we'll have something else better before we will do that. And so unless they can move that pillar, but I don't think they can. I'm okay with the pillar. I preach this pillar when you're not here. I just stand right here, and I look at that thing. But anyway, we had people fill out some cards. We were casting vision, and some of you filled out cards. If you would like to do one of these, you're welcome to get you a little card, a piece of paper, whatever, and submit it, turn it in, email it, whatever. I like the physicalness, though, of your handwriting and me holding it in my hand. And I've had these, and I pray over them, and I look at them, I read them. So I want to read a couple. Just want to encourage you. And if what is the Lord saying in your heart about us, about our move, about another building? And this person says, a place where Jesus is always central and discipleship is Holy Spirit-led, not a program to manage, a life together in Jesus' journey. I say yes and amen to that. My dream is to be a body of believers like the early church. Their community was their community, was their extravagant love for God and each other. We will be known as a place where God's presence and glory dwells. The sick, brokenhearted, those thrown away, the addicts, the faithless, would run to the place Holy Spirit glory is and find new life, healing, community, and witness. We did have another thing up there, right? Be life, right? Be light. Give hope. Demonstrate God's power. and celebrate God's presence, that it's going to take that to do even a portion of what I just read. You understand that, right? I see Lyft as a community garden open for any passerby, a place identified by the fruit it bears rather than location, a garden watered by the word of our testimony and sheer power of the presence of Holy Spirit. This place grows under the leadership of many gardeners who are gifted in growing different produce, their giftings and specialties for the benefit of the entire garden. I love that. This is not a top-down type of place, except there is one at the top, and his name is Jesus, right? Amen. Let's pray. Happy true, your Holy Spirit. So grateful for you. I'm asking you to help me today. I openly and quickly say, have your way. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. And someone said, yeah, quickly. Make it quick, buddy. There's football on. Let's go. Philippians 4:8 in the Passion Translation says this. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. So happy true year. I can't even say it. Happy true year. Last week, some of you weren't here. And I know that. But I brought a word that you need to hear. You really need to hear it. It's a word for our house. I'm going to briefly give you a teaser, but I'm certainly not going to preach what the Lord had on me then, because that's not what he has on me today. But I basically shared a story. I started with a story about Levi, who was a tax collector. I talked about how awful tax collectors were in that day, and how one day Jesus saw him. The word conveys to us that Jesus saw him, looked at him intently, and said, follow me, and Levi followed him. He up and left his lucrative tax adventure where he could make a lot of money off of other people with seemingly no restraint. He left all of that, threw a feast for other tax collectors, which irritated the religious folks of the day. And I was sharing with you that there is a feast inside of you and I that we aren't tapping into, that this world is so desperately hungry for. And the common denominator of the feast that we have to share is a person, and his name is Holy Spirit. So my title last week is, what will you do with Holy Spirit? Now, I didn't tell you, I did talk about how Levi left the tax collecting business. He left that business. He may have went back, tied up some loose ends, but he followed Jesus, and we know that he followed Jesus. You could go back and be a fisherman like many of the other disciples did after Jesus' death on the cross and before his appearing to them after the resurrection, or even after he went into the sky and went back to heaven, right? They went back to their fishing because he told them to wait. So that's all they knew to do. You couldn't do that as a tax collector. Once you left that, you were out. But we know that it was true. We know that it stuck. This experience was real because Levi actually is Matthew of the Gospel of Matthew. Now that puts a little different touch on it, doesn't it? I don't know if Jesus named him Matthew like he had named other disciples, or if it was just something that came about, but it's the same guy. You see, when God shows up and things change, they really change. And for some reason, we've become masters of accepting some change and stuffing other change and calling it, I'm not sure about that. Or our circumstances change, like somebody I know right now who is struggling with just massive issues in their life. And their question is, God, why have you changed? And he hasn't. We have. We do. We're the ones who change. So I still have a question for all of you who will hear. And I'm probably going to ask this question often over the next, I don't know how long. What are you going to do with Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit of God? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about that a little different angle today. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, which is different in most respects than the other synoptic Gospels that Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want to tell you this. First of all, you've heard this saying, Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Have you heard that before? I'll bet you've heard that and you've heard it out of context. I'm not doing a message on that, but I wanted to plant this in your mind that truly a man's gift can make room for him and it can bring you before great people, but I want your idea or your thought of gift to change. Because I would say this, God's gift made room for him. And he's now asking you and I to make room for that gift. And that gift was Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of God, when you become a believer, right at that moment. You don't get part of him. You don't get a little dab. Back there when kids come to Jesus, they're not getting a child-sized Holy Spirit for them. They're getting the full Monty, the full deal. And so do you. It's what do we do with that? Truth. What do we do with the fact that that God Almighty lives inside of us? That is, it's hard to, for me to fathom. And I've been a believer for a long time. I've been a believer long enough that I forget he's there sometimes. But he is. Wow. So, here's what I want to do. I'm going to go into the Gospel of John, and I'm going to skim over a couple things in the 16th chapter, and then we're going to go to the 17th chapter, one of my favorite spots ever in the Bible. So in John 16:1, he says, these things I've spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I have told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Jesus is getting ready to do what he came to do, at least the culmination of what he was sent here to do, and that was to die on the cross for you and I. And he's beginning to share with the disciples some insight, and their minds are being blown because they're not understanding it all. Just like when I read it, I don't understand it all. As a matter of fact, I probably understand less than maybe they did at the time. They had experiences that I didn't have. That's why I must rely on Holy Spirit to help me to understand all that is going on here. But the Word of God is living and active and able to divide, to cut through the... Right? This is a living... an active thing that God has given us. And Jesus even goes on and says, later on, But now I'm going, in verse 5, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Did you know that that's the biggest pain in God's heart? Is that people just don't believe in Jesus. It's not that they're sinners. It's not that they do wrong or that they murder or whatever heinous thing you can think of. The thing that grieves him the most is that they don't believe in Jesus, who Jesus is and what he did. Why is that so important? Shouldn't we worry about all the bad things they do? And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. You see, there's only righteousness in one place, and that's Jesus. And he went to the Father. He's the only one who could go. He was the only one who could do what he did. And Holy Spirit has been sent here to live in us, to convict us of our unbelief. Be honest with me. There have been times where you thought, I wonder if there really is God. I wonder if there really was a Jesus. Now, nobody shake your head or raise your hand. I didn't ever do that. I've done that. Because I live in a world that the enemy floods me with stuff and junk, and I have felt abandoned. I have felt like it's all over. You be honest, you can say the same thing. The righteousness of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to remind us none of us are worthy. Nobody. None. No one is able to say, I got it. I finally arrived. I've made it. I'm such a good person. No, you're not. Not compared to him. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. And Holy Spirit's here to help us remember that. You see, I think sometimes we forget the doors we came through. We've come so far from our despair, and now, with praise God, the Lord is taking care of me. And we forget the hellhole we came through to get where we're at. And when somebody else is there, it's hard for us to relate to where they're at. The Holy Spirit wants to convict us of our lack of righteousness. You're righteous, but only because of Jesus. Right? Boy, it got quiet. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Holy Spirit wants to remind us there is a judgment. And without Christ, you're toast. You understand that? Your coworkers, your family, your kids, your parents, they're toast. There is judgment. But Jesus paid a price. Holy Spirit wants to remind us and keep on our forefront. There really is a judgment. I go through my day. I go to the grocery store. I deal with goofball people. They're acting totally goofball. Has anybody been to Walmart? And you go through your day. That was very judgmental, wasn't it? And yet very true. I'm just saying. I went there yesterday. It was fun. And yet there's a judgment for every goofball that I run into. They're going to face a judgment. And I don't know if they have Christ in their heart or not. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I can't bear them now myself. But what he, the Spirit of truth, When he, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Happy True Year. Holy Spirit wants to guide you into some truth. He wants to take you out of your fake news of the gospel into the truth. And I want you to know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought they had it figured out. They did. They had worked this thing up to where they had all, they added so much rules and stuff. They had it all figured out. And I got to tell you, the American church is not far behind. You go into China where you could die if you mention Jesus, and you find out who's really a believer and who isn't. And you know what? They seem to flourish and multiply, and they don't have even a stage this size. They may not even have a place. They just meet in their home, and they hear the truth, and they share the truth. My gosh, we're so pampered. I want a bigger room. I want a bigger stage. I want all this bigger. But what I don't want is a bigger note and a bigger burden on you guys. That's not what lift's about. I'll lift that off of you right now. But God's going to bless us. But he's going to bless us. I can't carry this. Pastor Chris can't carry this. Only Jesus can carry this. And he's calling people to lock arms and say, Holy Spirit, I'm all in. Convict me of those places within me that need to change and need to let go and trust you. Then he goes on to verse 16. A little while you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. So they were saying, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born, because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take joy away from you. He didn't say it was going to be fine and dandy all the time, did he? But you know, even Jesus, as he's saying this, he's like, I gotta go to the cross. He knows this is coming. It's imminent. He's aware because he's tuned in with his Father. The Bible says, for the joy set before him. Let me tell you something. He was banking on that joy. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you that it doesn't matter what you're going through, there's joy set before you. There is joy. Overwhelming joy, as a matter of fact. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Right? It's not just joy to the world. The Lord has come. No, it's joy to the Lord. The Lord has come, saw, kicked the devil, took names, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and went back to heaven and said, you're not on your own. I'm sending my Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Have some joy in that. Find my joy in my presence in you. Then he does something really cool. He's telling them, he's trying to share with them, they're not getting it, that he's going to die and be resurrected. But then he says this in verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name, and you and ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language. See how fast I said that? But will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. You know what just happened? Jesus just gave us the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil, bow. In the name of Jesus, sickness, bow. In the name of Jesus, curses, break. In the name of Jesus, chains, fall. In the name of Jesus, come forth, harvest. In the name of Jesus, he gave us his name. The name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He's telling them about it right now. He told them the Holy Spirit's coming. Someone else is coming to help you with that. It's going to help you. Here's three areas that's going to help you to stay on track. Oh, and let me give you my name. You know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't giving you a license to ask for anything you want and just tag in the name of Jesus on the end of it. You see, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you're not just praying some magical couple of words to add to your prayer. You're praying the character and the power and the persistence and the authenticity of who Jesus is into your prayer. So your prayer request better line up with that, or you're just saying a name. You might as well pray in my name. See, often when people pray and they don't have an understanding of this power and presence of Holy Spirit inside of them, and they're just praying and they're just throwing out in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, blah, 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 blah. They're not really praying in the name of Jesus. They're praying in their own name, in their own accomplishments, in their own power, in their own observation. Now, there was a time when people were doing things in the name of Jesus and they questioned. There was a question arose, are these people even believers? And the response was, well, God's coming through for them, so leave them alone. But I'm talking to you, Lift, you believers, you who love to pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us his name because the Father sees Jesus when he sees you. Gave us his name because his name is the name above all names, and he gave us something that we could identify with when we're facing whatever we're facing. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross. The disciples didn't get it. Then in chapter 17, this is my main point. Wow, time went fast. And Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, this is a high priestly prayer that Jesus is delivering in front of the disciples, at least some of them. Right after this, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and prays, oh God, if there's another way, right? I mean, come on. And then from there, he's arrested, and the brutality begins. But here he's praying. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Do you understand that up to this point, they had seen the glory of God through Jesus, through the things he did, through the things he said, and they'd come to that place where they believed that God sent him. But the glory was always initiated pretty much so from the Father to the Son for him to demonstrate. Okay? Jesus is asking something different here. Now, Father, glorify your Son. What I'm getting ready to do, glorify your Son. Interesting, isn't it? Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So why would God, why, Father, he's addressing him as Father, very intimate term to talk to his Father. Give your son, me your son, glory. Even as you gave me all authority that I might give others eternal life. And look at verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, the anointing, Jesus, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. That's what Christ is. It's not his last name. It's a position of honor, if you will. It's who he is. He's the Christ. He is Christ, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth. I have accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You understand, he spoke this world into existence. And then he came here. What king leaves that? What king leaves that kind of glory to come as a baby and do all the things that he did? Jesus Christ did. And he's saying now, he's asking the Father, I'm ready to go back to what I've always been. You know what? That glory was here when he was here, even before he prayed this. But he's asking for something specific. Now glorify your son. Hang with me. I'm just about done. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. The disciples are hearing this. And they believed that you sent me. Can't you just see him going, yeah, I believe that. Listen, he's talking about us. Wow. He's talking to the Father about us. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. What name would that be? Jesus. That they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. And we know that's who that's talking about, right? The one who betrayed Jesus. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Hello, that's you. There's nobody in here talk to an original disciple. If you did, I would like to hear about it. You've been watching too much Star Wars if you think you did. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Here's my point. I will give you room, Holy Spirit. I will make room for you, Holy Spirit. Bible says you live in me. I don't understand that. That's probably good. But I will make room for you because Jesus just prayed to his Father and said, Father, let's make room for them that we might be one. You can't have a relationship with someone that you never spend time with. You can't be all things to all men that by some means some may be saved. That's in the Bible somewhere. You've heard that, right? Something like that. The point is this. The point is this. You can't go. You can't lead others to go where you won't go. You can't give what you don't have. And Holy Spirit, you have him. I will give you room, Holy Spirit. Because I'm one with the Father. Because I'm one with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'm one with Holy Spirit, my helper, the one drawn alongside of me to remind me of everything that Jesus has said. I'm reminding you by the power of the Holy Spirit right now that he is for you and not against you. That you are the head only and not the tail. That you are above only and not beneath. That you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That you can do all things through Christ, the anointing, the anointed one, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God who lives in you. That you can do exceedingly, abundantly, be above and beyond all that you can think, dream, or imagine according to the power that works in you. Pick yourself up. Lay down your agenda. Decide for once and for all, once and for all, I am not my own. I've been purchased. I've been bought. And my seal of that purchase is Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. I wonder if God's for real. Yes, he lives inside of you. Ask him. Jesus prayed that you would. Father, I pray as Jesus prayed. We'd be one with you. We'd be one with your Son. And that we would receive your Holy Spirit who lives inside of us as believers. That the mind of Christ is ours. We don't have all the answers, but you do. I don't even understand half of what I'm talking about. But you do, and you're touching hearts today, and you're striking chords. And I say, play your song, Lord, in each one of us. Have your way. That's not just a trite saying for us anymore. Have your way. Let signs and wonders flow in this house. Let the miraculous of your presence be so strong and powerful that it actually spills out into the street and everywhere we go. That God would walk in wholeness and health regardless of the sickness we battle. That restoration is part of our inheritance. Healing is part of our inheritance. All the promises that you have made towards us, O God, are yes, and the people say amen in Christ. And we declare it and we receive it. Now I'm asking you, Lord, this week, even starting this week, that you would open your word. Holy Spirit, would you open your word to inspirational, high revelational knowledge? Because the Spirit of God lives in us. That when we read, you just open it up, God. Blow us away. Give us what we can handle. But give us, Lord. Reveal yourself strong in your people. In Jesus' name, amen.